This is also our stewardship season, and each week of stewardship, we have someone come and make an offering of their thoughts. Today's word is generosity, and today's stewardship speaker is Ted Newman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I turned 65 on Friday. My mother is still struggling to come to terms with this reality. I started coming here somewhere on the high side of 45 years ago, when my hair was shorter and my waistline was smaller, much smaller. My reasons for first walking through the door were these. Carolyn and I wanted to find a place to get married. My parents and brother had, I think, already begun to attend. And interestingly, one of our best friends at the time had a major crush on the pastor's daughter. It was Lori, for those who go way back. And he told us that this was a church that accepted people for whom they are. And he said, you won't be judged when you walk through the church of the open door. It didn't take too long for me to see that the mosaic of characteristics that taken all in all form Community Church of Barrington had many tiles. And one of these tiles, one of these pieces for the CCB mosaic bears the word generous. Etymology, the unpacking of the linguistic family tree of words, can be a rabbit hole that Lewis Carroll would envy, notwithstanding that a bit of a footnote. Generous comes from the Middle French genero, with a Latin root generosus, in Scripture. The Hebrew word used in place of generous is often nadiv, one who is inclined, and by the way, if I'm wrong, just keep your mouth shut. Because I'm hearing you going, mm-hmm, over here. So. One who is inclined to give, or noble. And another Hebrew word, sometimes used for generous, particularly in the Old Testament, is chanan, translated as gracious or merciful, especially in reference to God. There's quite a few Greek words. Jane? Yeah. Again, if I make a mistake, you know. Quite a few Greek words that are associated with the idea of generous. Agathos, hematododos, koinonikos, to list a few. And these words have various connotations, including being of good constitution or nature, useful, salutary, good, joyful, agreeable, happy, excellent, upright, and honorable. Let's climb back out of that wordy rabbit hole, and we get to this point. It turns out that if we are generous, if we are fortunate enough to be on the receiving end of generosity, we are bathed in light of many colors, and all of them are good. If we retain fidelity to our mother tongue, whatever that mother tongue may be, there's really no such thing as bad generous, not really. And I would argue that there is no Christian church worth the name that is not generous, not really. The notion of a miserly Christian church to me is an impossible oxymoron. Let's think for a minute about Charles Hollis Taylor. Charles Hollis Taylor and the science of logic. Within the realm of logical argument, a variable that is necessary but insufficient is a factor that, if absent, prevents a conclusion from being reached. If you have this thing by itself, it ain't enough to get you where you want to go. But if you don't have it, you'll never get there. Charles Hollis Taylor, born in 1901, died in 1969. Now, no one knows Charles Hollis Taylor by his full given name. Rather, he is known by his shoe, the footwear perfection represented by Chuck Taylor All-Stars. Over 600 million sold. I have worn Chuck Taylor All-Stars for decades, and God willing, this will continue until I happily return to the stardust from which I came. Chucks can help to illustrate what generous means to this church, because they can illustrate the logical concept of necessary but insufficient. If I get up in the morning and, having had my morning coffee, decide to go put on my chucks, and I realize that all I have in my hand is a pair of shoelaces, I won't get very far. Shoelaces are necessary but insufficient. By themselves, they aren't enough. But if you tried to run a race without your shoelaces on your shoes, you wouldn't get very far. So too with being generous. If there is no generosity in plate and pew, it's just hard for me to see how there is a church at all. To maintain and grow the mosaic that is Community Church of Barrington, we need to be generous. We need a lot more than that, of course, because being generous is necessary but insufficient. We need to praise, as Sharon taught us. We need joy, as Brenda taught us. We need to imagine, as Nicole and Bell taught us so well just last week. But we do truly need to be generous. And I don't mean that in purely financial terms, though that is certainly part of the righteous recipe. We need to be generous by being gracious and merciful, accepting and supportive. That is what I have felt here myself. And I fervently pray that that is what will continue to be a shining standard and crucial defining characteristic of CCB. Being generous doesn't simply benefit others. It also benefits the person who practices generosity. Proverbs speaks of the person who gives freely, yet gains even more. In 11:25, Proverbs teaches us that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. In a church setting, Christian generosity is both communal and individual. It marks the ethos, the spirit, and beliefs that define the church family as a whole, but it begins in the choices made within an individual heart and soul. After all, Isaiah didn't declare, "Here we are, send us." His was an individual choice, and this church is built out of the choices each of us make and the actions we take as a result of our choices. Being generous isn't always an easy choice, and sometimes it's the farthest thing from easy. Goodness knows I fail at it often enough. But as we struggle over which path to try to walk in life, if we want to be sent by Jesus, I think we need to ask, which path is generous, and then take that one. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And so, church, be generous.